Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
The Lord has for us today. This is a familiar verse of Scripture. I quote it all the time because I want people to come to faith in Christ and to come to understand faith. In a trusting relationship in a God who loves you, not just in a God who has great power, but a God who has great love for His people. Amen. There's a reason all of this power in this great God is released in the form of our need. There's a reason that He sent His Son to save us. There's something beyond the cross. There's someone behind the cross. Can you say amen? And the Scripture is very clear. It's a Sunday school standard. It's one of the fundamentals of the faith that everyone probably learned in Sunday school, 6, 7 years old, John 3:16. Behind the cross is a loving God who sent His Son. In effect, according to the New Testament, He came in the person of His Son to this earth to die for us because Christ said, I and my Father are one. And the Bible said, to wit, amen, God was in Christ on the cross dying for us. Literally, He was God incarnate. He became man so He could not only save us, but save us by becoming our sacrifice. Amen. He demanded a sacrifice. Amen. And He became the sacrifice. He provided for Himself a lamb and literally provided Himself as the lamb. Amazing love, how can it be that this my king would die for me? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would say, not mine, but thine for? Did you know neither one of those songs really capture the grandeur of it all? Because it's not just a great king who dies for us, but the God who created us, who came to give His life a ransom for us. Can you say amen? That is glorious beyond anything that I can get my mind wrapped around. I'm still trying, amen, to get a hold of that great truth. Who am I and who are you that the God of glory, so holy and pure, the God that we've sinned against, the God that we've rebelled against, would still love us, amen? The world, He takes the whole world with all of its sinners and sinfulness, and He embraces it and said, I want you to be saved. I don't want you to be damned. I don't want you to be lost. I want you for mine and I want you saved. For God so loved this kind of world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's why faith's object. I know that we build faith off the Bible. Amen. I know the Scripture and I know how misinterpreted it can be. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and suddenly just reading promises in Scripture become the basis for faith. And I'm going to tell you something. Reading promises in Scripture doesn't tell you anything about the person of Scripture, except that He's a good God and He loves you. He's made these glorious promises to you. But God wants you to know Him in His love. Follow after faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greater is not faith, but the greatest of these is love. Amen. If I have faith to move a mountain, I've developed my faith to that level, and I don't have love, it still profits nothing. Why? Because the mountains I'm going to move are going to be moved for my convenience and not for His glory and not for other people's good. Are you listening to me? I speak with the tongues of men and angels. Some people put the emphasis on faith. Others put the emphasis on gifts. Amen. And if I speak with the tongue of men and angels, it becomes sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. It becomes empty noise without any real substance. I'm just getting a self-gratifying glory blessing on Sunday if I don't speak in those tongues as a genuine flow of the Holy Spirit. And when He comes, He does more than give gifts. He sheds what? He sheds the love of God abroad in your heart. Amen? So that through deeds and acts of love and kindness, we show forth the love of Christ. Not just through gifts that say He's with us, He's in us, but through actual changes in our character where He begins to love through us. I heard a woman, she was either from Africa, but she was English accent, and there's a lot of Afrikaners from Dutch and from British background, and or she was Australian. I think it was more of African. I didn't hear the first of it. It was on one of the broadcasts on the way to work yesterday. And you may have heard the story if you were listening to the radio while driving somewhere. But I really got caught up in it because she had lost her faith. Something had happened at church that had hurt her. Something she had seen in Christians had hurt her. And a lot of times people are looking at the flaws in the church and the faults in Christians instead of the faithfulness in Christ. Amen. I want to remind you that there should never be a sign out front that says the end of your search for the perfect church. Amen. There is no such thing as a perfect church. There's a perfect God and a perfect salvation. But there are no perfect people. We are sinners saved by grace. We're not locked into sin. Sin doesn't reign in us anymore. We follow Christ, but there's not a person in here that will never have to bow and say, Lord, forgive me. Amen. That's going to happen as long as you live in this body. Amen. You're going to have occasions to repent. Because we are not perfect. I dare say that Christians can be unkind sometimes, and we should be sorry for it, and if we can, make amends for it. But if you're looking for perfection, I wish I could say I never get angry, but I do. So the Bible says don't try to not emote or deny your emotions, deny your humanity. It says be angry. It's going to happen, but sin not. Don't let it lead you to sin. Can you say amen? I got so angry at work one time, I kicked over two plastic tubs. And somebody said, Rev. Rev is supposed to be so even-tempered and in control. But it just got so bad. It gets so hectic sometimes. I have heard young men just scream. Just go, ah! Sound like a little girl. And I thought, what in the world has happened? And I know what's happened. Something went wrong here, something went wrong there, and something went wrong there simultaneously, and everything goes into chaos. And you say it's not going to get to you, but after a while, sometimes in an unguarded moment, it gets to you. And I remember the day it got to me, and I kicked over. I mean, I felt like, yeah! And I kicked over this plastic tub that holds bottles, and there was another one in my way, and I kicked you over too. And it felt good to kick them over. Can you say amen? But I didn't kick anybody. Be angry. And you know what they do in Japan? You know what they actually have in some of the companies where they're pressured for deadlines in Japan? They have a timeout room, amen, for the executives and workers. And you can go in at any time. You can have 5 minutes in the 10 minutes, rather, in the timeout room if you choose any time during the day. And in that room, they've got this dummy. It doesn't look like the boss either. They wouldn't allow that. Amen. Or wife or husband or children. Amen. They ask a mother one. They ask a mother, would if you had it to do over again, she had three kids, and they were just, you know, they were some of the rowdiest kids that anybody had ever seen. And she was always haggard, you know. And they asked her, said, because she had a mother's heart, but she was really having trouble coping with these rowdy. You know, I think it was 2 years old, the terrible twos, you know, and 3 years old and 5 year old, and they were just crazy, you know, just like crazy little monkeys. And she, you know, she just had a time with them, and everybody knew she always had a time with them. They said, if you had it to do over, would you have any children? Someone was really asking her, you know, because she looked like it was getting her down. And she said, of course I would, but not the same ones. Things can get to you, you know, it gets to you. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Amen. I want you to know that God loves you in the midst of your humanity. God loves you. God cares about you. Amen. And what do you want you to know to build your faith on? And if there would be a title for this, very quickly, it would be The Love of God, Faith's Strong Foundation. And everybody that hears that kind of a title thinks the Word of God is the foundation for faith. Amen. Let me tell you what you're going to find in the Word of God. You're going to find more than promises and principles. Amen. Of how to receive and how to use faith. Amen. You know what you're going to find in here? This primarily is a love story. Can you say amen? For God so what?
Loved
that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever... What stimulates the faith to believe upon Christ? It's the love of God that was expressed in his son hanging on the cross. For he said, if I be lifted up from the earth... That's not just when we lift him up in testimony or lift him up in praise. Amen. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, if I be crucified on the cross, if I become a sacrifice, if I do it for people who are rebellious and don't deserve it, and I give myself and give my life for them, that will be the most compelling thing about the good news of Christ. That God loves you. Can you say amen? We think we can get sinners saved by just telling them about the judgment to come and God's consternation and condemnation. Jesus said, this is what is going to touch them at the deepest part of their need. Tell them that I love them and I don't want them lost. I want them saved. And tell them on no uncertain terms, amen, that I came to this earth to seek them and to save them and to give myself on the cross for them. Hallelujah. Let them hear it loud and clear. Yes, tell them. How shall we escape judgment if we neglect such a great salvation? But don't tell them about the judgment until you tell them about how great a Savior I am. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise today. That's why the gospel is called good news. I have good news. Amen. Which shall be to all people, for unto you in the city of David is born a Savior. Jesus came to save. That's why Psalm 36:7 says, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, this is the stimulant for it, the catalyst for it. Therefore, the sons of men put their trust under the shadow of your wing. By the way, for all of you ladies here today and mothers, I remember one Mother's Day talking about God's greatest tribute to mothers being that He's always presented in the male gender. It's always Father in heaven. It's always He and Him. Till it comes to the tenderness, to the tenaciousness of His love. And then He chooses the feminine to relate that to. That doesn't mean that fathers don't love, but there's a tenderness about a mother's love. If it's a godly, good godly mother, there's a tenderness about that. Amen. That He relates to. Is it possible to have a mother that doesn't have that? Sure it is. We're human beings. We're frail and humans fail. Is it possible for God not to have that? No, it isn't. He said to Israel, can a mother forsake her suckling child? Yea, she may. They find children in dumpsters. They found a baby with an umbilical cord on it in a bathroom in Disney World. Can a mother forsake her suckling child? Yea, she may. But I will never forsake you, O house of Israel. Can you say amen? And He uses a word about that tenderness of His heart. It's rendered love. It's rendered loving kindness in the Old Testament. Love in the Old Testament. It's rendered mercy, because that's what motivates mercy from God in the Old Testament is love. Genuine, authentic, committed love. And it's the word loving kindness. And it's hasid. That's how it's pronounced. It's hasid. And it's that part of God's heart that He uses the feminine gender. He said, thou shalt be born on eagle's wings. He's talking about the mama eagle carrying the young on her wings. Amen. He talks about the perilous times in Psalm 91. All the things that can befall man. Plagues and pestilence and all the things that can happen in this fallen world to hurt and to harm. And He talks about the covered of His wings. And He talks about looking to Him to spread those wings over us. That is a mother thing. Jesus stood over Jerusalem and said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times would I have taken you under my wing? And listen to this. He gets distinct as a mother hen does her chicks. And you wouldn't let me. Can you say amen? I want to go on record today. If God has that kind of heart for me to make my appeal to, then faith's appeal is not just going to be, I'm not going to try to strengthen my faith by just saying, this is the word. It is true. I'm standing on it, bless God. No, this is the word. It is true, but it tells me about a God with a heart of loving kindness, and I am banking on His loving heart when I have a need and I cry out to Him. Can you say amen? I really like the Amplified. It said, how precious is your steadfast love. One paraphrase reads, how eager we are because of it to run under your wings. See, when you get eager to run under his wings, you're manifesting bold faith. Amen. Sounds childish and baby stuff. No, this is where bold faith comes from. This knowledge of how deeply and committedly and tenderly he loves you. How excellent is your loving kindness, your steadfast love. Therefore, the sons of men. See, that is the stimulant for it. They put their trust under the shadow of your wings because they know you're going to open your heart to them. I love the Lord because he hears my cry. David said, there's a soft spot in God's heart and I've got it. Can you say amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Even when I'm wrong, I can cry to him and get right. That soft spot says, he that comes to me with a humble and contrite spirit, it touches that. I will in no wise turn him away. Your family may turn you away. Your friends may turn their back on you. People that you've hurt or harmed may never forgive you. But God says, if you humble before me, you'll touch that part of my heart. And the one that has the right to never forgive you, the Holy One that you and I have offended, said, if you come to me with a humble heart, a repentant heart, I'll in no wise cast you aside. Isn't that incredible? Hallelujah. What an invitation. No wonder when people discover this truth, they're eager to trust him. Eager to run to him. Can you say amen? This eagerness comes from knowing something about his loving heart. Nothing stimulates us to trust the Lord more than a revelation and realization of his great love. The Bible speaks in the New Testament of the great love wherewith Christ loved us. I remember preaching on Mother's Day and declaring that God's greatest tribute to a godly mother was to associate himself with the feminine when he wants to convey how he loves. That doesn't mean you have divine love innate in you, but divine love is similar. Amen. It's deeper and stronger, but it's very similar because he always uses the mother. Amen. He even says to Israel as a nation, he said, I'll give thee suck. Isn't that incredible? Oh, by the way, since we're into that, amen, the word for God that means God will supply, God will see to it, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. My provider, Jehovah Jireh. And El Shaddai, amen. El Shaddai, praise God. You know, did you know that's in the feminine in the Hebrew? Because it means the many-breasted one. Amen. Isn't that incredible? God said, I will give you suck to Israel. I'll take you like a baby and nourish you. And then he says something again in the feminine, in the tenderness of the feminine. He said, and thou shalt be dandled upon his knees, the prophet said. Dandled upon his knees. Now in the day of Nintendo and Xbox 360, amen, four-year-olds are not dandled on knees anymore. Can you say amen? They want to ride something. They want to go to Adventure Island, go down the slide. But there was a time when we didn't have all that stuff, and sitting on mama's knee and getting dandled was a pretty good deal. Does anybody know what dandled is? Yeah. Sit on your knee and there you go. Now you can tell the older folks in here because they know the song. Sing it with me. Ride a little horsey, go to town. Here's the God of the universe cuddling and coddling and saying to a nation that he has set his love upon, I'm going to nourish you. I'm going to cherish you. I'm going to show you my love in such a cherishing way. I'm going to dandle you upon my knee. And if you've got, see, people want to get into the mystical and they miss the practical. God said, I'm going to use a good godly mama's love to show you what my heart is like. So if you want to go off into some mystical place, if you're looking for some mountain in Tibet to discover God, you need to take a good look at a godly mama. If you want to know something about his love, can you say amen? Hallelujah. This is better than sitting somewhere, you know, standing upside down and contemplating your navel. You're never going to learn much about God, a lot about belly button lint, but not much about God. It is for certain that mothers need to be honored and deserve to be honored. I think about a lad, I read this recently, who forgot his lines in a Sunday school presentation. They were quoting scriptures from different parts of the Bible. His mother was in the front row to prompt him. She gestured the word silently with her lips, trying to help him, but it didn't help. Her son's memory was blank. Finally, she leaned forward and whispered the cue, "I am the light of the world." The child beamed and with great feeling exclaimed, "My mother is the light of the world." You may or may not have had a good mother, because humans are flawed at our best. But one thing is certain, you've got a good father in heaven. Can you say amen? And he loved you enough to give his son to die for you in your place on the cross. Because of his great love, the God of the Bible has a tender heart. He said, "I have no pleasure." We see his judgments because he's holy and he must judge. He's righteous. But he says, "I have no pleasure in that. I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth." That means the recipient of his judgments. He said, "I have no pleasure in that." I don't say, "Boy, you got what you deserve." No, I have no pleasure in that. It's not what I'm all about. "I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. Why will you die, O house of Israel? I put two ways before you, life and death. Choose life that you may live." Can you say amen? "For why will you die, O house of Israel?" Amen. You can see that heart reaching. It's always reaching. It doesn't matter what they've done. That heart is reaching. In Isaiah chapter 1, and there's judgments going to come on the land if they don't turn. But oh, how he wants them to turn. "Come and let us reason together." 1 verse 18 and 19. "Come, let us reason together. Come, let us reason together. Come, let us reason together. I want to meet with you, and I want you to meet me in repentance so I can meet you in forgiveness. Come and let's reason this out. Let's reconcile. I can't just write it off, but if you'll come humbly, you'll touch that part of my heart that so wants to bless you and help you and deliver you and not to harm you." Isn't that incredible about God? I don't know what image you have of God, but I want you to know the God of the Bible delights in mercy. Hallelujah. He's deep into forgiveness. That's why when I preach repentance, I preach it with a gleam in my eye and joy in my heart, because it isn't to condemn, it's to set us free. Can you say amen? We're afraid of that message. It's a good message. It's God embracing us and wanting to be reconciled and calling us to reconciliation. Hallelujah. Praise God. How did we ever turn it into such a negative thing? How did we ever take it in such a negative way that some seeker-sensitive churches will not even dare touch on it for fear of offending someone? I'd be offended if you didn't tell me that when I'm wrong, there's a God that wants to take my guilt away. When I'm condemned, there's a God that wants to take my sin away. And if I will repent, He will forgive and He will forget and wipe my slate clean. Call me to the altar and you will do me no harm. Somebody say amen and amen. Glory to God. Because of God's great love, His heart is easily touched. God does not sit aloof in His heaven with little or no concern for His creation. He came down. He was incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. He came down to feel our human condition, to experience our troubles and trials, to become our Savior and friend. He came down to us. He condescended. He left the splendor of heaven. The Bible said He was made in Christ a little lower than the angels. He took that form. Amen. And He made of Himself no reputation, and though He thought it not robbery to be called equal with God, hallelujah, He humbled Himself and was obedient even unto the death of the cross. And He felt what you and I feel. Something of God who is spirit and who is the I am, who is self-sufficient, who said, "If I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for I own the cattle of 1,000 hills. As if our mere offerings, just in the sense of the worth of the offering and not what's in our heart when we give it, is of value to God. He said, "Nothing you put on my altar satisfies some need in me. What I'm looking for is you to do this as an act of gratitude and thanksgiving." You understand that? This all-sufficient God said, "I know now what it's like to feel want and to feel need I know what it's like to need companionship as a human being. Peter, couldn't you watch with me just 1 hour? Father, why hast thou forsaken me? He knows what it's like to be God forsaken. He knows what it's like. Judas, betrayest thou me with a kiss? He knows what it's like to have his heart broken. The Bible said in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was sorrowful even unto death. He knows the human condition. At Lazarus' tomb, that tender heart was so touched, Jesus wept. Amen. The God of the universe said, I feel it. I feel it. I feel it. I don't only know in my omniscience what sin has done, but I feel it. I feel the hurt of losing a loved one. I feel the hurt and the pain. He knew at that moment he was going to raise him from the dead, but he felt the human condition. He saw the sorrow in Mary and Martha, and he said, he wept. Jesus wept, has a wealth of information about the heart of God. Can you say amen? And what it tells us is not just that he feels, but he feels like we feel. That's why the book of Hebrews 14 through 16, chapter 4 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest, this is our mediator that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, because he's felt what we feel, he knows what we feel, he knows how to help us, how to minister us, just exactly what we need. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, amen, to obtain grace and mercy to help us in the time of any need. You've got a compassionate God who understands you like no one else could ever understand you, who's walked in your shoes and felt what you feel in your heart. He says, come to me, you that labor and are heavy laden. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. Isn't it incredible what he's done in Christ? Hallelujah. We should not have halting hearts, but rather eager hearts. Come boldly before the throne of grace. How excellent is thy loving kindness. Therefore, the sons of men put their trust under the what? The shadow of your wing. Faith is built on love. Everybody say, faith is built on love. The Word of God is a catalyst and a stimulant for the faith that already exists in His love. If faith isn't in His love, when you pray and it's something that isn't the will of God, so the door is shut and circumstances close in and you don't see God in it, you're going to doubt Him in spite of all the promises that you have pasted to your refrigerator and all the things you confess over and over like a mantra day in and day out. This profession is not something you say over and over. It's something you say and you believe and you hold dear to your heart. Amen? It's a profession of faith. And the Bible said, hold fast your profession of faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. It's faith in Him and His faithfulness to love you unconditionally and unendingly. We should not have halting hearts, but eager hearts. I like this in the Amplified. It said, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling in our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need. Appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. Isn't that good? This bold faith, this consoling confidence is ours because we believe that our needs have touched His heart. Can you say amen? We believe we have His ear because we know we have His heart. Can you say amen? The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. That means you have His heart. That's why His eyes are on you. And His ears are open. Amen? Because He loves you with His heart, He listens with His ears. And if we know He hears us, we know we have the petitions we've desired. That's where bold faith comes from. It begins and it rests upon a revelation and realization of the love of God. You preach the love of God, faith is going to come forth in an audience. How excellent is thy loving kindness. Therefore, the sons of men put their trust under the shadow of his wing. It's not just his integrity, his holiness. It's his love and tenderness. Can you say amen? The word can become something separate from God. He spoke it, now it's separate from him. You don't get a revelation of him. You just see what he said. And the word itself becomes this mystical force that faith somehow emerges from. Listen, this Bible is a Jesus book from cover to cover. One man read it and said, as I read the scriptures, to my amazement, a man began to emerge. As I read further, a man stood up. How many know this Bible is about Jesus Christ, God revealing himself to us in a way that we could understand him and perceive him by becoming one of us and saying, if God was one of you, this is what he would be like. And it takes all the mystery away from God because it's very clear what Jesus was like in Scripture. If you came to Jesus and you were hurting, you think he would embrace you and hold you. That's what God is like. Somebody look at somebody and say, that's what my God is like. Hallelujah. If you said, Son of David, have mercy on me, do you believe he'd stop what he was doing and turn to you? Yes, sir. Sure he would, because that's what God is like. But he'd lay down his life for his sheep. Yeah, he did. Because that's what God is like. Can you say amen? Will he take Peter back and still use him? Even after Peter denied him? Yes. When he repented. Why? Because that's what God is like. When you've seen me, woo, you've seen the Father. Hallelujah. There are two imperatives in bold faith or absolute trust. God exists is the first one. He's real. Christ came to this fallen world to reveal him. And that he loves us and therefore responds to us when we make him our source. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Listen. And that he is a rewarder. How excellent is thy loving kindness. You've got to know that. He's a rewarder. He's a responder. He listens when we pray. You don't storm heaven. I was taught how to storm heaven. I was taught from day one. You know, kind of God is aloof sitting in his heaven. You're going to have to get his attention, son. You're going to have to fast for 32 days. You're going to have to pray 14 hours a day. Amen. You're going to have to stay in the word the rest of the time. Amen. And then when you pray, you're going to have to, you know, just absolutely break down the doors of heaven to get into his presence. No, that's not how you do it. It's not that we don't need to fast and we don't need to pray, but a lot of fasting is a discipline to overcome self, not to get God to listen to you. Can you say amen? To get self out of the way. Some people think they'll be heard for their much praying. They think if I just discipline myself to 3 hours a day, God will hear everything I'm saying. No, that's not what gets his ear. What gets his ear is the love in his heart for you. May I say something to you? Without fasting, without praying, God loves you. You don't earn points by how much you fast or don't, or how much you pray or don't. Now, you can have a vibrant, vital relationship with him that's filled with power and grace and glory if you develop your prayer life, if you study the Word of God. Amen. You'll learn more about him, and faith will come alive, and the promises will be something you can take hold of, but it won't make him love you anymore. If you're not getting needs met, it's not because he loves you less than someone who is. Don't ever think that way. It's not true. God doesn't have any stepchildren. If you drive... I'm looking for a little car now. The Yugos are about gone. If you drive a Gremlin. Remember the Gremlin? I would never own a Gremlin. Amen. Remember the Comet? And the Valiant? And the Gremlin? Little economy car? One time they wanted to have a hybrid. Cross the Valiant and the Comet and call it the Vomit. But it just wouldn't. They thought it might not sell. But anyway, moving right along. Amen. No one wanted a Vomit in their driveway. Amen. But if you drove a Valiant or a Comet or you drove an Escalade, amen, God loves you the same. God has different callings, different purposes, amen. Someone is called to be the CEO and someone is called to be the janitor. You believe there's a janitor out there in his calling? I do, because the Bible said, greet the servants in Caesar's house. And said, whatever state you're in, if you feel you're in the will of God, be content with it. Everybody can't and is not called to be the CEO, contrary to popular teaching today. Your kid may not be the winner of the blue ribbon in the high school track team. You know, your daughter may not be the winner of the track team, because there's 18 kids in it. And if 18 Christian mamas is believing God for their daughter to be numero uno, then God is in a dilemma, isn't he? He's got 18 prayers for my daughter to cross the finish line and win the gold. 18 prayers from 18 devoted mothers. Saying, let them trip, Lord. Let them fall. Smite them in their ankles and upon their knees. No. That's not. That's football. I'm sorry. That's how they pray before football game. Lord, smite their ankles. Smite their knees. Help the quarterback to be disabled for at least 24 hours. Amen. And we'll bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. When we win. 18 mothers. See, everybody thinks a winner is when you get to the top. You know what a real winner is, a real success? When you find your place in God's purpose and find contentment in it and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. If you're called to be a housewife, it is a high and heavenly calling. Bless the name of the Lord for having a direct ministry upon your children and your family. Woo! And don't let nobody in no magazine make you feel bad about your calling. I mean, people look at you funny if you put down, I don't care if you've got 18 kids, they want you to have an executive position with Tampa Electric as a lady. And if you've got 8 kids, if you've got 5 kids, if you've got kids at all, you've got a high heavenly calling, especially in this generation. The real issue of having faith in God is not, God is all wise and knows how to help us, or God is all powerful and is able to help us. But rather, God is love and He will help us. That's a critical issue of faith. And Satan will cause you to doubt the love of God. You can't stand on the Word of God. Let me say that again. If Satan can cause you to doubt the love of God, you cannot possibly stand on the Word of God. So faith's foundation doesn't begin with the Word, but with a person who wants to show you his heart. And the object of faith never changes. Even when faith is so strengthened, it's always in His loving kindness, in His goodness, in His mercy. It makes its appeal to His mercy. Psalm 17, 7 and 8, as we work to a close this morning, says, show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them that put their trust in thee from them that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye, and hide me under the shadow of thy wings. And Satan, you have a great enemy. In Christ, you have a great ally. Paul put it this way, what more should we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God is for you. Even if you're lost, God is for you. If you're a sinner, He wants you saved. Hallelujah. He's taking your part. He's making intercession for you. I love this story. We must close with this. Can you wait 5 minutes? Thank you. I knew you would. In the story of blind... Did I give you a disc? We're ready. In the story of blind Bartimaeus, faith makes its appeal to the tender heart of God. Listen to this. How faith worked in him. And it worked this way in so many people. Such a practical thing. So many people are wanting to tout the power of their faith instead of the love and mercy and compassion of their God. And the world needs to see more than Christians using their faith. They need to see God keeping His people, that they might understand Him and be drawn to Him. If I be lifted up from the earth, if I demonstrate my love and commend it by loving first and giving myself, that will be the compelling part of the gospel. That's the hook, if you please. If you're going to go fishing, use the right bait. It's the cross and Christ dying for it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen to Mark, how this works, and this is a pattern for so many times that Jesus moved to meet needs. Mark 10, 46 through 52, it said, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, Now, he must have heard something about Jesus, because he didn't just hear that Jesus was a healer. He didn't just hear that Jesus had power and could do miracles. That's not where the appeal of his faith went, although he needed healing and a miracle. He must have heard that God is a good God. That there is a man with a compassionate heart that is moved to tears over the human condition. A man who cares and is brokenhearted and feels the pain of others. Compassionate, loving, tender-hearted. How excellent is what? Thy loving kindness, your character of love and tenderness. Whew. Therefore, people boldly released faith in you. Can you say, man, in what? In that loving kindness, in the covered of your wings. Hello? Listen to this. So when he heard that Jesus was passing by, he began to cry out. And what he cried out gives you an indication of what he found out about Jesus. Are you ready for what he found out about Jesus and the target of his faith in order to be healed? And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, I'm blind and I need healing. No. Come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain what first before the need? The greater grace and mercy to help in the time of need. So he makes his appeal to the compassionate heart of Christ. Son of David, have hasid. Amen. New Testament derivative of the Old Testament. Loving kindness. Have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal. Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. Wow. Amen. And Jesus stood still. Did you know when Peter cried over the bow of that ship? Lord! He was desperate. The storm was about to sink them and Jesus was walking in the water. Jesus stood still. Said he would have passed them by until he cried out for mercy. Woo! Immediately he stood still. Says, you know me. You know my heart. You've touched that part of my heart. Hallelujah. Of course, that human need and humility always touches. Wow. Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Once he got his heart, he's going to get his answer. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And he got his heart by acknowledging, amen, I know there's a soft spot here. I know how to touch it. I know that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has a tender heart. And every time Israel came back, he welcomed them and restored them. David knew that. And Jesus said, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now see, if you just read that part, you think faith is a generic force that gets you what you want apart from him. No, this was faith in what? Directly, distinctly, in the mercy of a tender-hearted God that stopped to say, bring that man to me. Woo! And immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Thy faith has made you whole. Faith in God's power to heal alone? No. Just that God is all-powerful? No. Faith's target was God's heart of love and compassion. Have mercy on me. Amen? Will you stand to your feet today? How excellent is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore the sons of men put their trust under the shadow of your wing. We used to sing this song when I was first saved years ago. Time is filled with swift transition. Naught of this old world can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. When your journey is completed, when the valley you pass through, fair and bright, the home in glory, your enraptured soul will view. Hold to God's unchanging hand. If you're a Christian, you hold to His hand. And if you don't really know Him as your Savior, you take His hand. That's extended to you in grace and love this day. Would every head bow, every eye close. I want you to know me enough to trust me with your life, your soul, your all. I want you to know me enough to love me back for the way that I have loved you. But know that I have loved you first and sent my Son to die in your place. That's how much I care for you, saith the Lord. Every head bow, every eye closed. Is there anyone in this room would say, Pastor, this day I want to acknowledge Jesus as my personal Savior? Anyone in this room, this is the day. You may have done that already. I'm asking that question. Anyone here? Okay. Got a second question. Christians that are here. By the way, I'm going back to that just for a moment. The Lord has been so precious today. So powerful and wonderful. I'm so glad to be a Christian. So glad to know He loves me. So glad to be able to tell other people that He loves them. I find myself in controversy over some biblical point at work with someone who's finding every kind of reason not to come to Christ, and to end the conversation by saying, God loves you. God loves you. And not just say it, but know it in my heart and mean it from my heart. There's no way I can walk away from someone who's even been contentious and not tell them before I leave, God loves you. He cares about you. He wants to save you. I'm going to ask this one more time. Anyone in this room that needs Christ as your Savior, would you lift your hand? Anyone away from Him that needs to come back to Him? Amen. All right. Now quickly, you that are Christian here today, you're going to hear about faith in this generation more than you've ever heard about it. It's an important issue. I don't want to belittle or diminish where the Bible places faith on the level of importance. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For they that come to Him must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder. And this is telling you something about the faith that pleases God. It's faith in His heart of compassion and love. That when you come to Him, He's going to listen. When you come to Him, He's going to open His heart and His arms to you. That's the kind of faith. It's not this mind over matter stuff. It's not this, if I believe it strong enough and long enough, I will cause something to happen. That is not, you are not a creator. He is the creator and He remains so. And not only does your faith grow as you find more about Him, but your heart begins to grow in love toward Him. We love Him because He first loved us. The more we discover, the more we love in return. Because that stimulates love in us. Can you say amen? I know people that are building their faith all the time, but they're not building a loving relationship with Christ. And the mention of His name, it doesn't do anything for them. Their worship is kind of just, you know, go through the motions, watch the program. What I'm really here for is to use my faith, to build my faith. And they're missing a vital relationship with Him that can satisfy the soul. I know people trying to use their faith and build their faith that have no peace within, no joy of the Lord. Amen. That labor under some burden to make things happen in their life instead of resting in and upon the Lord. Come to me, you that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. And listen to this. Vital. Learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in spirit, and you will find what you're looking for. Rest for your soul, a place that you can say God is in control and God loves me, and I'm persuaded that death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come will ever separate me from the love of God that's in Jesus Christ. This trial will pass, but His love will hold. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I don't understand what I'm going through, but I know that God loves me and He'll take me through, and that's all I really need to know to get through. Can you say amen? You see how it works. Moshe.